You're recording, folks.
Okay, so we are now back in open session, and Ms. Solomon, would you like to lead the discussion?
I've completed my discussion. I want to reiterate that this makes, my comments are, make no determination of the medical surgery, of the need for the medical surgery, or whether it's appropriate. Has nothing to do with that. It's solely related, my comments are related to the consent agreement requiring board authorization for even prescribed use of opioids. And I believe that the reason for that is the risk of relapse, or to be able to monitor relapse. I, in good conscience, cannot make a motion in support of this, but I would ask whoever board members making any motion or we can have further discussion then, that we build in some kind of amendment asking maybe, right now she's on what, quarterly drug testing?
Yes.
Yeah, that we move it up to monthly. If that can be done, if we can we do that, Mark?
Not unilaterally.
Not you, okay.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion that we approve her request and direct staff to check in with her 2 weeks after surgery and monthly thereafter until her next appointment.
Well, and one of the things that you can do kind of as a follow-up, Mr. Lohi, is you can invite her in and even if it's telephonically, you know, at any board meeting, if you just want to check in with her. You can do that at any time.
She would be scheduled for October anyway.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Oh.
No. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Is she going to cancel that one because she's in a wheelchair?
She's always telephonic.
But where are we at the consent agreement? Where are we at on reports that we need from doctors or anybody? Do we get anything
she's
like
2 years,
that?
She's 2 years into yeah. it. That still, as I read it, required that any doctor prescribing this has to report, to file a report within, what is it, a week, 10 days to the board?
She's very good at having her doctor
yeah.
send
okay.
information.
Yeah. Okay. I said no, I mean, is she already seeing an addictionologist still under the CAs?
Yes.
So would the next scheduled appointment be, or do we even know that?
I haven't looked at it from the
perspective. Okay, because I'm wondering if the next time she goes with the addictionologist, can we have them send us a report saying, yeah, this looks fine post-op, or I'm concerned about something, or would that not be allowed by the CA? But I would just say address it in the next report.
And I believe she may have completed her relapse prevention counseling. Is that correct? I think it was 18 months?
I don't remember.
Yeah, so that's why I'd have to look back and see. I didn't know where we were on this directly. But if we're still working with reporting psychologists, we can just have them follow up at the next appointment. But I mean, for the record, I was never a fan of us approving opioid use. I think that it should have been submitted to us for acknowledgement. But for us to approve it means that we're the clearinghouse above the human doctors who are determining and who are the licensed ones to say, this is what she needs. I don't like the wording of approval. I think it should have been kept in loop, basically. But for us to pre-approve these things, what if she gets in a car accident? They give her hydromorphone on the way to the hospital. That's a violation of her consent.
No, it's not. It excludes emergencies.
Well, we do have a motion and a...
Yeah, so, said, where are we at here?
So we have a motion and I think a second.
Well, that's why I didn't know if I'm ending that by saying the next time she has an addiction, I'll just report, have them just report
so
in this case.
I think as long as staff is in contact with her, we're going to get all that.
I was trying to appease, because I know Ms. Solomon's concern. I
know
at
some
point,
we've had her here in person and on the phone, and we haven't had any issues.
Right, she's been doing great.
Right?
Absolutely.
So,
there's a lot of
at some point, you got to turn loose.
Mm-hmm.
Could a relapse happen?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it could. But it could happen 10 years from now, when all of us are gone. We can't stop that.
Yeah.
We have given her tools. She has used those tools. She's gone out and found tools on her own, and she's made use of those. She's gotten back in touch with her faith. She's expressed that.
She's been
open about that. But at some point, you've got to take a chance. Is it a chance? Yeah. Is it risky?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
She has an account.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Well, I think it's
I think I wouldn't come tell this group unless you've asked me in person. I would write you a very professional kind of letter, exactly like she wrote.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wear my heart out on my sleeve.
Now, if you ask me in executive session,
yeah, I don't want to.
She doesn't have to.
Yeah, so we don't want to control her life, we're not her parents.
Yeah, her own faith, mental stability and support, not psychiatric, family is going to make the difference. And nothing we can do or say is going to have anything to do with that.
Okay, I think we've hashed it all out now and things are getting a little heated, so let's go ahead and, yeah, that's okay, that's good. Again, very lively discussion today, but, okay, so we have a motion and we have a second. Do we need to do a roll call? Should we do a roll call?
You can, sure.
Okay, so Dr. Wright, can you do a roll call for me?
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Nay.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright is an aye, the motion carries.
Okay, all right. Okay, so now we're going back down to number 5. Board may review, discuss, and take action on case C-2213 regards to Jamie Draper, unlicensed practitioner. We don't have a lead on this, so whoever would like to jump in. This is our teeth cleaning person, and we've gotten no response on our communications. Is that correct, Tracy?
Yes, that's correct, but I did go back and check on her website, and it has been removed. So that's no longer available. Okay.
I thought that, too. Yep.
So the issue may require no action by us.
Well, it's a CK, so I would ask that you dismiss it at this time.
Or close it.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Close it, yeah.
So hopefully she got the message.
Yes, Madam Chair, I move we close case C 2213. Is that the correct number?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I'll second that motion. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, board may review, discuss, and take action on case C-2302 in regards to Landon Ames, unlicensed practitioner.
Okay.
He just...
So, when can we ultimately ever do something about this guy?
Wickenburg's in Maricopa County, give it to Ken Schiff.
Yeah, they never care. He just keeps doing it. Nobody ever does anything. This is what, how many cases have we seen in this minute?
Then you call, we have Victoria send a press release to all the news stations.
Maybe that's the next step, but I'm like,
that the sheriff isn't doing their job.
But he's
and the county attorney, Adele's not doing her job.
But he's gotten away with this.
She's dead, the other one.
But in this case, he's gotten away with this stuff over and over and over again, and every time we refer it, nobody cares. I mean, what's the point of us even still looking at these? Let's just let him do what he wants to do at this point, because I'm sick of seeing his name and us not having any recourse.
Yeah, he's threatening to kill people.
Well, he put him in jail then. I'm sick.
Well, then
we can't.
That point could maybe spark somebody, like the sheriff's deputy, to maybe do something. Because you finally got that kind of language, we have the deal here. Look, this guy, we had to black it out because they're afraid for their life.
And if we can, that's great, but I don't see anything ever happening to him because nobody cares. There's already too many other things they're dealing with. So it's like, can we not do anything about him? I mean, can we go to a county prosecutor instead of a state? Can we do something else? But nobody seems to care. And I'm sick of seeing his name come across and we're just like, oh, well, let's argue about it. And then I get pissed off because I'm just frustrated with this and I'm going to see him again in 3 or 4 months.
Right.
I mean, that's just what it's going to be. Do we just start saying we don't do anything about unlicensed practitioners?
Because that's his address. We got his address.
What is our esteemed attorney for the board thing?
You know, you can affirm to both the state and you know, local law enforcement. I mean, I don't know what, I don't have anything, you know, magical to say.
Yeah, that's me. I'm like, can we just go lower on the chain? Because the upper chain doesn't seem to give a damn. And that's frustrating to me as a regulatory who's off of the board technically.
You have money and legs to waste.
But it's like we refer these things and we never hear any resolution because nobody ever follows
on that. We wouldn't. So I would say that we wouldn't. Like, I never expect to hear anything because they have no duty to report to us. And so that doesn't mean that they're not doing anything. We just don't know, right? They're obviously not stopping him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, I don't know one way or the other.
I mean, ultimately,
if they ever opened a case, if they ever did investigate, we just would have no way to know that.
Under state law, it's now a felony under state law. So, I mean, I would think we would know about it if something were to happen. So I'm guessing he's not a felon just running around doing whatever he wants.
And we
So I'm guessing nothing's been done. So I mean, it's just me, and I'm sure Mark's sick of me bitching and moaning about this stuff, but it's just every time we get an unlicensed practitioner case, it seems like we discuss it, and then we just see them back in a few more months because they're doing the same dang thing. And nobody cares. It's killing me.
This guy is egregious, and we see at least one case every year.
But
he was driving around blind, veterinarian, doing vet work.
But the thing that kills me is, it's like, what's the point of being regulated if the only benefit of being regulated is we can punish you, but we can't do anything if you're not regulated, so why get a license? Just go do what you want.
And we have talked about that before.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
So, but we need to focus on this case.
Okay. No, but I mean, that's kind of where I'm at is, who can we refer this to anybody else? Because every time we've ever referred one of his cases out, nothing seems to change.
The law tells us who we can refer it to.
And
that's who we do, the county attorney, state county attorney.
And how is that done?
Not the law enforcement?
I send them a letter.
A letter.
A letter with the case information.
So if we send them a letter, are we allowed to carbon copy?
News agencies?
Channel 12.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
A leak.
Now we know who the leak is. We will direct all media calls to Mr. Loki.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to refer this to the county and state attorney, is what it sounds like.
And if we can, with emphasis, type up the letter in bold or italics or something.
Okay, so
we need to have something that each of us is willing to sign.
Yeah.
Hey, get off.
Well, if it goes to the state attorney also, should we be asking Mr.
Kirkus? I put my name on
that. I know, don't do it, bring me in.
It's scary.
But yeah, I mean.
So, Mark, are we making do we need to make an official motion or just, okay. So, which one of you would like to make?
I think we refer this to any and all county and state authorities that we are able to. Under spiritual statutes.
And can you include to close it and refer it?
There's nothing else we can do on it.
Because it's open.
And close it.
Thank you.
And refer it.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second to send this off to multiple individuals and close the case. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, fingers crossed. Okay, next, board may review, discuss, and take action on case C-2303 in regards to Inez Ramos Estrada, the unlicensed practitioner.
Either Google Translate isn't very good, or
it's not.
She flunked eighth grade in Mexico, too. I don't know.
It's Google Translate.
Okay.
So,
not her, it's Google, okay.
But I mean, she has a Arizona address, but she says she only treats animals in.
But she also acknowledged she treated those too.
And she treat right.
So,
it was still a little confusing to me, and I guess I.
She's a liar.
Yeah, I said not confusing.
Yeah,
just
right.
That.
That was my impression also.
Do we?
We've already opened a case.
Well, I don't know whether we have the. Well, we opened the investigation. Do we have the animal, right? Or do we have an actual owner and animal? And
general 25-year-old Palomino.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that
is the Santa Cruz County Sheriff. So we close the case, refer it to Santa Cruz County, and maybe Customs and Border Control too. If she's smuggling stuff back and forth across the border.
We do.
It's
a little busy right now.
So is the Santa Cruz, every sheriff on the board, too.
I think, that would be, a separate, but yes, we can let them know that we received this information.
Can they do a cease and desist?
They could, but I wouldn't.
Okay, so just refer?
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, but can we refer to USDA? That could be just a phone call outcome. Can you state that?
Yeah.
Yes, so the motion is to close C-2303 and refer the matter to the Santa Cruz County Attorney and the Arizona Attorney General.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second, all those.
And share information with border or customs.
CBP.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Okay, board may review, discuss, and take action on possible unlicensed practitioner Aaron Porter and Brianna Cunningham. Okay, so, let's see, they are the ones providing us with more Frenchies.
More brachiocephalic.
Yeah.
So this is just to whether or not to open up a C case.
I move we open up a C case.
We can't do any kind of referrals until next month.
Right.
So we couldn't send this to the Corporation Commission.
It would be a little premature, yeah.
Yeah, as in, no, since there is a legitimate business actually this time.
Corporation Commission's a good idea. They have that to list when not incorporated.
Okay, so.
Well, because it says for any legal business, but that's not what they're doing.
Okay.
So, motion and a second to open up a case and start unlicensed practitioners Aaron Porter and Brianna Cunningham. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. What happens there? Board may review, discuss, and take action on requests for continuing education approval for the Arizona Veterinary Technician Association 2022-2023 classes. And I think that was the one where they all look good except for the first one because it's in the time frame is the deadline was not met.
So I move we approve all but except for A, nursing care for the megasophagus dog.
There you go.
Okay.
Second.
Because it was not submitted within 60 days.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second to approve most of their CE.
Can we just do like B through J?
Okay.
B through J.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Okay. Number seven, board may review, discuss, and take action on veterinary license applications. Tori Steinmetz, Lewis DVM, Mr. Lohi, take it away.
What is that on the, agenda?
That was,
Discipline in Montana.
Yeah, main agenda, and then it's V.
Yeah, it's under main agenda. And it's
Discipline in Montana from 2020. It's kind of an orthopedic case going on.
Oh, yeah. So, I move that we accept your veterinary license application.
Second.
Motion and a second to accept the application for Dr. Steinmetz Lewis. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Next up, board may review.
Madam Chair, sorry, yes. I appreciate your expediting, but do we need an update on her compliance with that order?
Well, but isn't it?
It's dated 6/13/2022, so I don't know that she's completed.
Okay, I see what you're saying. To make sure she.
But she's also stipulated that she didn't agree with it. She's just going along with it to get it taken care of.
I don't care whether she agrees with it. This isn't Dr. Phil.
It's in Montana, so it doesn't matter. What happened?
Well, I think she's supposed to still keep us updated when anything major changes, right?
No. I mean, this is in another state. This is a courtesy. If she wants to let us know, you can ask her to do it.
Oh, is that just a renewal that you have to say that then? Because you have to report if you have any board actions in other states and keep us updated.
And she did. On
no, I'm just saying.
No.
But
let me just stop you there.
Yeah. Okay.
So in this case, she's done what she's done, which is she's told us what the reason. No one goes back and tells us that they finished their orders. People who,
We would catch it as a follow-up to what Dr. Wright's saying, is if for whatever reason she's not in compliance and they take additional action, then she would need to report that on a renewal. But as long as everything goes fine, we would never know. you know.
So only if they find her in non-compliance and then she reports that new finding to us?
Yes.
And that's a plug for the AAVSB reporting system, I guess.
Yes.
If the states report to it, what you may be thinking of is there's people who tell the board at a renewal that they have an open case.
Yeah.
What you do tell them is you have to tell us when your case is resolved.
But once they got the consent agreement, then if it goes for 5 years, we don't care unless they violate it in a new case. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Was there a vote?
Yes.
Yes, that in a second, yeah.
We, and then I thought we approved it, and then that's when you asked after we approved the vote. So I think we're good, right?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So now number eight, board may review, discuss, and take action on anonymous information received regarding possible non-reporting of possible animal abuse.
It is impossible to take any action.
Right.
Right, and yeah, I was like, this was one I couldn't even read.
I mean, I don't take light of animal abuse at all. Anything should be looked at, but this is just not enough of anything, honestly.
Right. Can we refer, we don't investigate, do we, animal abuse, whereas an organization such as the Arizona Humane Society has teams, EMTs that can do that? Can we make a referral for them to do?
Yes.
Well, so the...
Yes, it was illegible.
But wasn't the complaint that there was a technician who saw that there was an issue? So that was the complaint, was that the technician saw it, a certified technician, and didn't report it, right? And we're saying we have a duty to report. Isn't that what...
Okay, I didn't.
This is where the technician said, you don't report, you want to keep your job or something.
Right, okay. And so it's more of a question of, is because it's a certified tech, and in our statutes, it says that we have an obligation to report.
Yeah.
So, but as far as sending it to the Arizona Humane Society, depending on when this was, if this was even a few weeks ago, you're not going to have any evidence to support anything. So, I mean, you'd be surprised at how many times we have to perform those examinations because of speculation. Thankfully, I've only seen actually one that was true, but.
Well, that's a hard thing. It's fecal incontinence because he was sexually abused. Like, that's a big leap. There's a lot of things
that can be incontinence. Yes, and there would be other things that you may find.
Yeah, exactly. If there was like massive rectal trauma, that would be a different story. But just incontinence is, that's a big leap.
Yeah.
And it really just kind of make that claim is hard.
Okay, so can we just take...
No action.
Okay.
But still, I think affirm that we are very much against animal abuse.
You think that's
yeah.
It's always good to say.
Board may review, discuss, and take action on certified veterinary technician applications for Alexandra Murbach and Mr. Lohi, you are the lead.
This one, I had some. Oh, that's a good one.
Is this the DUI?
Three of them.
Yeah, she had, well, were they DUIs? They were just three. It was sort of unclear to me. Three alcohol-related offenses.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In was that in the main?
That was in main agenda V.9.A. Alexandra Murbach.
Again, I gather one was from 2000, so that's quite a while ago. And then 2010, but I couldn't figure out what the other one was.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right. I know I read it, but I didn't take a whole bunch of notes. So. I wanted these for a long time. Anyway.
They were. She wrote a great letter. Yeah. I understand why she omitted the actual, the real facts of the you know, issues, but yeah.
So the only question I had was, you know, we don't know when the Tucson incident happened.
Yeah, if no records were found.
We just know there's
before,
no records.
Yeah, it may have been before the others. I don't know.
Right, yeah. So it's
but
not.
I would assume she's from Connecticut, because that's where she got the first one when she was 18.
Yeah.
Okay. So, 17 or 18.
Okay, so you're thinking it may have been after.
And she's in Tucson now, so, I don't know.
But again, it was far enough back where there's no longer records.
It's a 520 number, and we didn't always have more than one zip code in Arizona.
True.
So, I don't know. Anyway.
Area code.
Yes, we did have more zip codes. We only had one area code. You know, older, wiser.
Yeah.
Who wasn't Didn't do something, skipped one of your hands.
I was a perfect child.
Were you?
Yeah.
Shame on you. You know, only the good day, you know. It's a Billy Joel song. I move we approve her application.
Second.
Motion a second to approve the application for Alexandra Murbach. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, for, let's see, again, number 10, board may review, discuss, and take action on premise license application. We already did A, so we're on B.
Yep.
Community Veterinary Connection, responsible vet, John Oplinger, DVM, and Ms. Solomon.
Yes. This is a new premise license with a responsible vet, being Dr. John Oplinger, with whom we had a previous discussion on today's agenda that restricted his practice to the community connection service, that those are the only pets that he is allowed to do. And that was item 4.9. So per the executive director's recommendation, I move we approve but direct staff to follow up to do a follow-up inspection in 6 to 9 months.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second to approve and then do a follow-up inspection. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next. Board may review, discuss, and take action on results of the 2022 American Association of Veterinary State Boards annual meeting. So I will start, and then if any of my colleagues that join me would like to jump in as well. And you know, being the layperson, I have just kind of these random tidbit takeaways for me, and obviously those who have been, you know, we do a lot of this similar discussions, you know, each year, of course. This one was in North Carolina, and you know, great downtown location. We're a little off with the 3-hour time difference, all of us, I felt. So one of the, in the first day, there was this very entertaining gentleman from the DEA that spoke. And one of the things that he brought up that you guys may all be aware of, and I of course didn't even know what it was, but they were saying that xylazine is the newest drug that they are seeing in overdose deaths, and it is used primarily
85% of the overdose
of the okay.
They found xylazine in with the fentanyl,
so they're mixing it in. You described it as it's like dextromethor
for the
companion animals. This is used more though in horses.
Used to be in small animal, and now it's pretty much exclusively.
They can throw up too in small animal.
What's that?
We still used to make it throw up in small animals sometimes.
Rompin?
Okay. Rompin?
But it's not a controlled substance, at least not yet. Of course, that, you know, could change. And again, I don't know that it's one.
Prescription for law.
Yeah, it's
prescription, but not
control.
Right.
Either way.
Anyways, it's just something I think for everybody to be aware of. I don't know that it's necessarily one that you do prescribe out so much as you use it within your practice, but being careful that it's not being stolen and, you know, sold off or whatever. But apparently, and then I did, after hearing that, this week saw a news story elsewhere on it as well. So apparently, it is just something new. And of course, with these things, you know, there's always something new that they're mixing in with all of these. So anyways.
I'm guessing they're getting the precursor chemical, not the drug through.
Yeah, it's probably distributors. Yeah.
It's probably just like the fentanyl, they're getting the precursor from.
It's just like everything's in
China
or
whatever.
Kind of like back in the 90s when ketamine wasn't controlled and people just broke into hospitals and stole it. Now I guess we just have to watch for xylazine.
Right.
What's the next one? Seriously.
That's the next one. So, and then another thing that, you know, again, we talk about this kind of stuff all the time. And, you know, Nikki, I'm sure you're aware, your career has been more than 5 years, but they were saying that CBTs, their career span is usually less than 5 years. And then I thought about it, I'm like, all the CBTs at my practice have always been these young folks. And it's just because of the pay scale, just a lot of them, you know, jump ship within, you know, just a few years. So of course that was something that's big on, you know, a lot of people's radar, but how can we, you know, how can we recruit more, but just get them to stay, the ones that go into it. And of course there's a whole host of reasons as to why they leave, but the primary one is just strictly that they're barely making, you know, I don't want to say minimum wage, but it, there's not making a living wage for a family and to, you know, all of those things. So sure, someone that's 21 might be able to, you know, get by for a few years, but it's just not for in this day and age. So anyways,
utilization and just appreciating them. I mean, I had a relief doctor in last week that my technicians complained to me because she did everything, your blood draws, all they did was just stand there and hold animals, and they were miserable. They wanted to leave and just walk out. And I was like, I understand that because it sucks.
Right.
It's like use your skills. So yeah, so it's a crazy thing, but no, we gotta fix something, that's for sure.
Well, but then one of the other discussion items, and I didn't take notes on this one, and I admit it was like day two after lunch, and I was, but they've already started a program for basically a nurse practitioner level type person in the veterinary field. To model after the human medicine field. And of course, while in some ways, you know, with the shortages of vets and CBTs, that might seem appealing, but so many people felt like that was really getting the cart before the horse. And it was like, you can't even pay CBTs and keep them. How do you propose, and what is the pay scale?
Yeah.
And the guy presenting he's brilliant, and you know, and he's done a lot of research. You know, he's a vet, but he's an economist as well. But at the end of the day, it was kind of like, I kind of got the impression they just had to do it and then just put it out there and see
what happens.
And if it you know, is that going to work? Is that going to help us? Because then again, my next item was that the estimated shortage of vets by the year 2030 is looking at roughly, if things continue, 15,000, you know, a vet shortage. So again, does this help bridge that gap? But does this also just make things even more complicated, because again, some vets need their pay raised, and you bring this person in the middle, I don't know.
There's not even statutes to allow them to practice.
Yeah. Well, right, so exactly. Yeah. Right.
You can't have
a program that's $100,000, and then they really can't even.
And I brought that up, I was like, because Dr. Lloyd, he's one of my professors from vet school, so I mean, I love the death, he was one of my mentors, actually. But I asked him, I was like, how are they forming this program when we don't even have regulations around it? It's like, are they forcing the hand of, well, here's this degree, now go sue these state boards and make them let you practice because you have a degree that they're restricting your ability to make a life or support yourself. And I won't be dealing with this because, I mean, the graduating classes won't be big enough when I'm finally off the board, when they finally replace me, but this is gonna be something you guys are gonna probably be dealing with, of these people are gonna be trying to sue the state saying you're inhibiting my ability to work for a living because I have this degree, it's legitimate, and there's no regulation around it. And I fear that's gonna be a mess of a thing because they're the schools just grabbing for money are putting these students in a position to fight the government.
Yes.
Right.
That's gonna be a hard
part. I was glad to see that it was not easy to get this degree. They had to have a CBT and a master's in veterinary science. So it isn't just an advanced CBT.
Yeah.
So I was glad.
And I think
there's
a
place for it, but there's a whole lot of work to be done.
But again, that was something we could probably talk about forever. One positive thing, 23% racial and ethnic minorities enrolled in vet school last year, so finally starting to see a little bit more diversity in the field, and that can be good too for, you know, just getting more vets, is that, you know, they are being recruited from you know, all different areas now. Just a reminder that, you know, there are, I don't want to say many, but a number of states out there that don't do registrations, premise registrations or inspections. So, you know, for some of our repeat violators, I want to give them a list of the states that they can go to where that's just not something that they do.
Where do we find that list?
What are those states going to do to us when we ship them there?
But then on the other hand, we did do, Dr. James and I know we're in a special session with North Carolina folks who, I don't know how they're doing this, but one, they have four inspectors for their state, who I think I missed this part, but Dr. James said they're usually vets and vet techs, and they charge $125 for their inspection. And then if you fail, you pay $125 again for your reinspection. So I was like, ooh, that seems, but then on the other hand, you know, then you have the states that don't even do inspections. So I can only imagine then saying, well, we're going to charge you for it. But that was the, you know, the fiscal piece of it, is how do we, you know, continue to do these inspections. And then allegedly you know, they actually have really good luck with individuals. They now pre-announce, they don't surprise anyone with their visits, and I don't know, it seemed like...
The difference with them, if I could add, unless it's changed, is that their inspectors and their investigators have law enforcement capabilities. They have badges.
Oh, okay, I think...
Law enforcement capabilities, so they can make arrests. Okay, that's a big...
I definitely missed that piece of it.
They can make a charge.
Tracy, you want a badge?
We asked for one here.
And they put, and again, Victoria, don't misunderstand, I'm not suggesting, I know we're already just trying to keep up with what we have, but they also put all of their inspections on their website as well, and so that's something that, as you know, as a just a member of the public, I could get on and see that, you know, Dr. Wright's practice had, you know, XYZ. So again, that is, yeah.
Tell you all the reasons why I wouldn't want to do that, so.
Anyway.
There's a way to do it in a reduced version, you know, like they do for the dirty dining reports. Here's the dean's list, and here's the ones with five violations or more.
The reason why we don't, is because our inspectors are not finding a violation. Theirs are.
Okay.
So we wouldn't want to put anything on the website.
Potential violations.
We would not want to do that.
Okay.
Got it.
Well, thanks for clarifying that, so.
So there's a big difference. That's your point, is that every state is different, right?
Right, yeah, vastly different. And yeah, I mean, I think we obviously follow, you know, I think we're doing a lot, but I think we're doing a great job. But anyways, there was obviously, we were there for 2 days, but I'm gonna stop there, and then if you guys have anything else, you know, that you wanna throw in that I thought was interesting to...
From my standpoint, you covered it.
Okay.
I think the biggest thing is, again, it sounds like you talk to a lot of people. It's just talking to the other board members and realizing we are still lucky. So I say it every single year.
Yes.
We have a small staff, but we have an amazing staff. And we are set up very, very well compared to a lot of other states where I don't just rip my hair off. I don't know how they can deal with it.
Here, here.
So yeah. One thing, you brought up the fact that they're charging. It's
right.
Not a problem for them to get that money.
Right? Yeah, that's what they say.
Anyway. Well, okay, so here's my experience in sales, is that when you charge for something, then it's worth something. If you're giving it away, which if the inspector's just showing up and they don't have to do anything, whether it's a surprise or scheduled or whatever, it's free, the state's doing it. There's just not as much appreciation for it. It's not worth it. The value isn't there. If you've got a price on it, it's got some value. There's a sweet spot though, right? I mean, there's always a, because you can't overcharge.
Right.
Because
some people feel we should pay them to come in and do their
business. Oh,
don't give me.
We all have one picture.
Not anymore.
Victoria's like, I'll be long gone before you guys
are. There's no licensee that says that.
And I mean, I think the money charge thing would be good, but that's a statute thing, right?
That's what I was going to say.
It's
not always a bad idea to have a price because there's value associated with that.
I agree with that.
But again, all in all, always a great conference. They keep things moving along. I'm not a vet, but I've been on the board forever, and I always find, you know, the vast majority of it interesting. And again, I don't go every year, so it probably is a little bit repetitive, you know, year after year. But yeah, I always learn something, and it's fun to go. So.
And that was when we had it, when they did it on Zoom during the pandemic, I participated, and my impression was just what you said, Dr. Rick. We are a very fortunate board. We operate, we have a great structure, our investigative committees, and above all, an incredible staff. So.
We did miss our chief there, but Dale wasn't there either, so you didn't miss the last course, because I know you always like that
favorite.
One. it was presented by his associate, but I was like, oh, it's not Dale.
It's not Dale, yeah. Okay.